Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you. This is Pastor Scott Christian coming to you live on the Hour of Overflow and Restoration broadcast on this fifth day of April, which also happens to be Easter morning. Amen. So listen, before I go forward, I want to say to the world, say to the naysayers and the unbelievers that he is not there. He has risen as he said. Amen. How many know that the stone has been rolled away and that Jesus has gotten up from the grave and he has declared that all power has been given to him? Amen. And you know what? That power he has given to us so that we can be effective witnesses in the world. And one of the ways that the Lord said that he would bestow that power upon us was by giving us and filling us with the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. And so I just wanted to start out the day by celebrating with you. You may be on your way from an early morning sunrise service, or you may be getting ready to go to your regular morning service, or you may be just preparing to stay at home today. But listen, I won't tell if you don't. But praise the Lord. That is why we come to you with this live broadcast, so that you can call in and listen in no matter where you are at. Amen. So we just thank and praise the Lord for this Resurrection Sunday. We thank God for everything that he has done through his son, so that you and I can have a right, as the old folks used to say, to the tree of life. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad that my soul has been prepared. I have given my life to the Lord as a result of what the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross, the victory that he got over death, hell, and the grave, and the fact that he loved us so much that he would die for us and shed his love abroad in our heart, whereby we can cry, Abba, Father. Amen. Listen, as I mentioned, we're going to go right into our message this morning. But as I mentioned, Jesus rose with all power in his hand. And this is not going to be the conventional Easter message, but it will be a message that exalts who Jesus Christ is. Amen. Every message that the men and women of God preach should do that on every occasion. It should exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about you and I, but it's about who Jesus is. Oh, that men would see Jesus. Praise the Lord. And listen, before we go in forward, I just want to say a word of prayer on this Resurrection Sunday to get us started, to get our hearts and our minds prepared for what God is going to speak to us on today. Listen, if you want to call in now or on our future broadcast, you may be listening over the internet. All you have to do is call this number, 470-205-7136. 470-205. I'm sorry, that's not the number. If you want to call in and speak with me live, call in at 213-325-3434. Amen. Amen. Just call in. You know, praise the Lord. God bless you. Y'all pray for me. I'm just making all kinds of mistakes this morning. I'm so ready and eager to go into this word this morning, but I do have to give you some information so that you would know. So y'all just bear with me this morning. But that is what happens when you are on live radio. Amen. If you want to call in and speak with me live, the number is 718-766-4882. I promise you that is the right number. Again, that's 718-766-4882. And if you would like to speak to me live, just hit the number 1, and that will log you in and let me know that you would like to speak to me. Amen. Amen. So let's go into a word of prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father, for who you are. God, we thank you, Lord, for the things that you have done in our lives. For God, even the fact that we are listening in and calling in and speaking a word today, is evidence that you have blessed us to see this day. And, Father, we don't take it for granted. We don't take it for granted that you have given us life, health, and strength. And, God, it's for that reason that we give you glory. And, Father, we cannot go forward without thanking you for the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ has risen from the dead, even as he has said, that he has impacted the world through the work that he has done on the cross, changing the entire course of history. And, Father, we thank you for the many souls, the manifold souls throughout the ages that have come to know you as a result of the shed blood that was given to us on the cross. And, Father, we just pray, Father, that if there's anyone out there that is not saved, and we know that there is, if there's someone out there that has been praying for a loved one to be saved, a friend, or even an enemy, God, we just pray that you will bring them in by the power of the Holy Ghost, that they may come running. I yield, I yield. I can't hold out any longer. Father, bless this word. Bless the hearers of this word. Bless the giver of this word. And, Father, I pray that we all may be blessed by the revelation that shall come forth on this morning. And, God, I pray that the word will find a place in our heart, that it will be good ground, that our hearts will be good ground, and that this word may bring forth a bountiful harvest of obedience to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And listen, if you couldn't listen in today, you can tell your friends this. If you can't listen in live, you can always log in to blogtalkradio.com/OR Ministries, and you can listen to the archived messages there. Not only will this one be on there, but there will be previous messages that have been ministered and interviews that you can enjoy. And please feel free to call in or to text me at 404-734-1352 and tell me how much you enjoyed or didn't enjoy the message. And you can also log on into Facebook at Pastor D. Scott Christian on Facebook, and you can make your comments there and also find more information about this broadcast. Listen, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to the book of St. Matthew, chapter 17, and we are going to talk about power since the Lord Jesus Christ rose with all power, and he has given us that power. We want to make sure that we are flowing correctly and using the power of God. Amen. We want to make sure that we are flowing in and that we are using the power of God as believers. In Matthew chapter 17, and I want you to look at verse number 14, Matthew 17 and 14, and we're also going to look at a couple of other scriptures, one of those being Luke chapter 24, verses 48 and 49. Amen. But right now, Matthew chapter 17, verse 14. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, "Lord, have mercy on me. My son, he is a lunatic, sore vexed, for often times he falleth into the fire, and he often into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him." Then Jesus answered and said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me." And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, "Remove hence to yonder place," and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Amen. And we are going to talk about that on today. Why could these disciples not cast out the devil? Amen. Look, turn to Luke chapter 24. Amen. And I know if you're not driving or if you're at home, comfortable where you can listen, I know you have your Bibles with you. So turn the pages with me. Amen. Luke chapter 24, verse 48. Luke chapter 24, verse 48. And I'm just going to read a couple of verses out of that passage of Scripture. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise again from the dead on the third day, and that the repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you shall be witnesses of those things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Amen. Amen. The reason why a lot of saints, and I'm just throwing this out there, don't have power, it's because they don't wait for it. Amen. They don't wait for it. When we talk about power, we are talking about having the ability to make an impact, to change a situation, an environment. Amen. If there is no evidence of a release of power, then it can be safely said that there was no power present in the first place. When we talk about power as it pertains to man, we have to understand that man by himself is limited in the power that he possesses. Amen. There are very narrow limits to the power of man. Amen. And in order to go beyond those limits, he must employ other means to go beyond his natural power ability. Amen. When we talk about power, man has the ability to exert force against something in his limited capacity, but in order to go beyond his natural ability, he's got to employ other means. In other words, we have to build machines. We have to make tools. We have to learn the laws of leverage. We have to learn the laws of force. Amen. In order to go beyond what our natural power limits us to. And what I mean by that is man is a great creation by God. Amen. If he can imagine it, praise the Lord, he can do it. If he can dream it, somebody said he can achieve it. Amen. But the thing about it is when we really look at the ability of man, he is limited. We can't wheel a building into existence. We can't wheel a car to come into existence. Listen, this message that I'm preaching to you now, I could not wheel it into being. It takes a tremendous amount of energy. It takes a tremendous amount of labor, and oftentimes long hours of labor, and the use of a diversity of machines and appliances in order for it to be possible for us to go beyond the natural limits of our power ability. You understand what I'm saying? Amen. Think about it. At some point in history, man looked up at birds and said, I want to fly. What makes it possible for that bird to get up in the air with such ease, with such little effort to fly and to soar up on the wind? Man looked at that and said, I want to go beyond my natural ability and fly like that bird. Well, praise the Lord, we can fly now. But look at what labor, what ingenuity, look at what invention, what great invention and education and experiment had to go into focusing on getting man off the ground and up into the air. Amen. We had to go through much labor in order to make it possible for us to do what birds do with very little effort. Amen. So we can't will anything into existence. It takes labor. It takes planning. It takes a diversity of machines and invention and appliances. It takes experiment in order for us to go beyond our natural abilities. Amen. But then these points are proof that when it comes to power, we are limited. But now let's talk about God. When we talk about power as it pertains to God, the one thing that we will find out is that God is an omnipotent God. Omni means everything or all. Potent means power. So God has all power. He is the Almighty God. So God is omnipotent. It means that God can do whatever he wills to do. Amen. We build by other means to go beyond our limits. But God has the ability to do whatever he wills. He don't need any additions. He don't need any leverage. He don't need any machinery. He don't need a blueprint. He don't have to take the time to experiment. Amen. God is all-powerful, and that whatever he desires to do, he only has to will it into existence. He can use his will, his mind. Amen. That once he determines it to be so, it is. That God, once he wills it, it is done. Praise the Lord. He don't have to write on a vision board. He don't have to write the vision down for himself. He don't have to go and watch a inspirational video that tells him, you can do it. You can do it. Whatever you put your mind to, you can do it. No, God is all powerful. That once he determines a thing to be so, it is so. It will appear. It will manifest and materialize, because God is all-powerful. And the thing about God is that God can do all of this on his own volition. He does it without effort. Come on, somebody. He does it without having to expend any effort. It doesn't take any effort for God to accomplish his goals. Amen. All he has to do is to have the volition or the desire to do it, and it shall be done. Amen. And not only that, whatever God does not want done, it shall not be done, because he has willed for it not to happen. If God determines to shut off heaven, then heaven is shut off. That's why the Bible says that God can bless who he want to bless. He can bless whoever he want to bless. He can cause it to rain on the just as well as the unjust, or he can cause it to rain at your house and not cause it to rain at your enemy's house. Because whatever God wills to do, he can do it. He is not bound by laws of physics, laws of nature. He's not bound by rules. There are no rules that will limit the power of God. Whatever God wills, it shall come to pass. Praise the Lord. Amen. So it means that God can do whatever he chooses to do with little effort. Not with little effort, with no effort. Amen. With no effort at all. So you can remember in the book of Acts, if you would go there to the book of Acts in chapter 1, this is a very familiar passage of scripture in Acts chapter 1. And in Acts chapter 1, we look at a very important passage of scripture as it pertains to the promise of the Father that was given to those, that will be given to those on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Ghost comes. And let's look at verse 4 in Acts chapter 1. It says, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the things, the times, or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and to all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Praise the Lord. The Bible, that scripture is telling us that there has been a transference of power to believers. And that power has been given to us through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. God said that you will receive power only after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, after you have been endued with power. Without the Spirit of God operating, there is no power for man to walk in. Praise the Lord. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Amen. That's why non-believers can't pray for other non-believers to be saved. Amen. That's why if you're not a Christian, you don't have the power of God flowing through you. God can't use you if you're not saved. God can't use you if you have not been filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. God is not going to use you as a source of his power if the Spirit of God is not upon you. Amen. So then when we look here, Jesus made it plain and clear that he desired for his disciples to have power, that he never desired for them to be religious only. Amen. He never desired for his disciples to be a religious people. Come on, somebody. He wanted them to be a people of power. And when you are walking in the power of God, you are walking in faith. And when you are walking by faith in the ability of God, it takes you outside of religion. Come on. It doesn't. When you are walking in the power of God, you don't become stale and stoic. You don't become practiced. You don't become a person who strives to be a good denominational church member. Amen. When you are walking in the power of God, not only does revelation come for the necessity of the spreading of the gospel, but it will also take you outside of the pitfalls of religion. Praise the Lord. Jesus never meant for us to be religious. He meant for his disciples to be obedient and to walk in the demonstration of the power of the Holy Ghost. In Matthew chapter 10, which is one of the scriptures that we want you to pay particular attention to, it also mirrors the scripture that we read to you in Matthew chapter 17. When Jesus had called his disciples, it says that he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and disease. God gave them the power to fight against unclean spirits. He gave them authority to fight against the spirits that make the world unclean, that make the world rebellious. Come on, somebody. How many know that there are a lot of spirits out there? Praise the Lord. That the world is filled with evil spirits, with unclean spirits. We see that manifestation of the uncleanness in this world, amen, in the things that we see, the news reports, the movies that are being put out, the commercials that are displayed on television, the products that are being sold, amen, the things that they teach our children in school. There are spirits working behind the agenda of the world. But the Bible says that Jesus gave his disciples power to fight against unclean spirits, amen, and to cast them out and to heal all manner of disease, of sickness and disease. Jesus gave them power to war against the devil. Listen, saints of God, one thing that we've got to understand is that there is a consistent war against the devil and his imps. You cannot be a Christian and not be able to identify that there is a war going on. Amen. There is a war that's going on for your mind. There's a war that's going on for your community. There are strongholds that have been in place for years that are just there because the people of God are not doing warfare against the unclean spirits and the devil that is present in their communities. Praise the Lord. We've got to admit that there's a warfare going on. Amen. There's a fight that's got to be fought. People are off focus and off base by putting their attentions too much on what God can give them as opposed to what we should be giving to God. Amen. Amen. Jesus said to his disciples, I am giving you power against unclean spirits. He gave them power to war against the devil. And look at the thing that he says specifically. Not only does he want you to war against unclean spirits, but he wants you to war against sickness and disease, to cast devils out and to cure sickness and disease. Now, why heal sickness and disease? Sickness is one of the greatest causes of distress. Amen. When sickness is upon an individual, it can render that person useless. When it's a terminal disease, when it is a disease or a sickness that brings them down, that loses their mobility, their ability of usefulness, amen, it can become a place of burden and distress, not only on that individual, but even on their families. Look at this. God speaks to the whole man. He has given us power to minister to the entirety of the afflictions of men. Amen. And we're going to look at that. When disease comes, it can be of great cost to families. It can affect families to the point where they will suffer great loss. There have been sicknesses that come, praise the Lord, and I just pray right now for health and divine healing to be upon all of those that listen in to this broadcast. And I see some of you are calling in even now. Amen. I just pray that health and divine restoration of the body will take place in the hearers of this word right now. Father, I pray that every sick body, every terminal illness, God, will be cast out right now, not by power, not by might, but by your spirit, saith the Lord. It is the spirit of God that supplies power to the believers. And God, I pray that there will be a release of the power of God upon every sick body, upon every distressed mind in the name of Jesus. Whatever form that sickness or that disease takes, God, we pray that it will be cast out and that healing will come upon the people of God. For God, you promised that healing is the children's bread in the name of Jesus. Amen. Sickness can cause. There have been people who have lost their houses, had to mortgage their homes, had to take out loans in order to pay medical bills. Praise the Lord. Amen. Because sickness can have such great effects on an individual or a family, Jesus is saying, look, I'm giving you power to take all of that away. Jesus don't forget nothing. Amen. He knows everything that we go through. And when he came, he said, look, I'm anointed for this. I'm anointed to bind up the brokenhearted. I'm anointed to set at liberty them that are bound. I'm anointed to bring you out of everything. I got the power to correct every wrong that's in your life. He has taken his disciples and endued them with that same power. And he said, in my name, go cast out devils. In my name, go lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. He said, do it in my name. I'm giving you the power and the authority to make an impact. I'm giving you the power and the authority to exercise my will. And God is letting us know, look, with man, this may be impossible, but with God, all things are possible. See, when we think about the power of God, we should rest in the fact alone that God has all power. The Bible says, the Bible tells us in the book of Psalms, I believe it's Psalms chapter 62, it says, one thing that God has said, and two things I have heard, and that is that power belongs to God. Listen, ability belongs to God. Supernatural power belongs to God. Miracle-working power is within the ability of God. Divine intervention, favor, is within the power of God. Amen. God is not limited on what he can do. You've got to be convinced that power belongs to your God. And when you understand that power belongs to God, amen, then it should take away all fear, all doubt, all reservations. Come on, somebody. We should rest in the fact that God has the ability to correct, to change, to impact, to take away, to heal, whatever it is that is coming against me, because power belongs to him. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let me calm down. Amen. So then these things must be dealt with, the influence of Satan, the influence of the devils that try to go about to vex people. Why should we fight against unclean spirits? Because they are seeking to destroy whoever they come in contact with. Amen. No matter how much the devil puts before our eyes to make it look good or smell good, the devil don't care nothing about the people that is upon the face of the earth. Not just the people of God. He is out to keep all people from seeing the glorious light of the gospel. He's striving to keep all people away from Jesus Christ. Jesus said to his disciples, I'm giving you the power to remove that barrier, to remove the influence of the devil. He said, I have defeated it, so you walk in it. I have brought it under subjection, so you go and walk in the power that I have given you. You go out and obtain the victory that I have fought for you. Come on, somebody. Jesus Christ has won the battle by the power of Almighty God, and he has given us that ability and said, now you go out and you war against those unclean spirits, and don't worry, this is not a hard thing for God. He will give you the victory. Enemies will be cast out. Sicknesses shall be healed. Diseases shall be cured, and the devil shall be defeated. Why? Because God has willed for it to be so. Amen. He has willed for it to be so. You remember how it was with the lame man that was at the gate called Beautiful. The Bible says that the disciples came upon him, and he was at the gate begging, praise the Lord, because he had been dealing with an issue that had completely destroyed his life. Amen. It had made a lifelong beggar out of him. Come on, somebody. The Bible says that Peter and John went up together into the temple, And they went there at the hour of prayer, and there was a certain man there that had been lame from his mother's womb and was carried daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered the temple. Did you hear what it says? It said that daily this man had to be carried. Lord have mercy. Every morning would have been the same for this man. His condition had basically ruined his life. He had to plan his daily activities around his sickness. Come on, somebody. The Bible says that every day somebody had to carry him to the gate so that he could sit there and beg. Every day. His day was filled with, please, somebody take me to the gate so that I can beg for money. And the Bible says that when Peter and John saw him, and when he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked them for alms. And Peter looked at him and said, look at me. And the man gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but what I do have, I give it to you in the name of Jesus. You know what? There are times when money can solve situations. When we can take up offerings, we can take the offerings from the people of God, and we can give it to the sick. We can give it to the poor. Come on, somebody. And there's nothing wrong with that. But there are times when we have to say to them, look, silver and gold have I none. Peter said to them, I don't have any money. I don't have any money to give you. Listen at that. He said, silver and gold have I none, but what I do have. Oh. He said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Listen, 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 listen. Just because you can't raise the money, just because you don't have enough of substance that you feel is what you need, we've got to take what we have, which is the power of God. Peter said, I don't have silver and gold right now. How many times have the people of God said, we can't because we don't have the money? How many times have the people of God said, we're not able because the offering was not big enough? How many times have people said, has the church said, we can't help nobody because we don't have no money? Listen, go on and get in front of those people and say, look, I don't have any money. The offering may not have been good this week. Pastor, you may say, they don't even pay me. But go out into the field where the people need Jesus and say to them, silver and gold have I none, but what I do have, I give it to thee, and say and pray for them and say, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. In the name of Jesus, be healed. In the name of Jesus, be free. In the name of Jesus, have the joy of the Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, he said, rise up and walk. And when the man got up, he didn't run away. The Bible says he went into the temple. If you would just give them Jesus, people will come into the temple. They will come where they will go where you're going. Praise the Lord. He went into the temple, not only walking and leaping, but he was praising God. Amen. When the power of God is present, it changes things. When the people of God walk in the power of God, it will make an impact on what is not right. It will make an impact. Devils will be cast out. Praise the Lord. Evil spirits will have to flee. Amen. I see another caller that has called in. Amen. I see you. Amen. So then we must understand that in order for us to have an impact, we don't have to be dressed the best. We don't have to drive the best. Come on, somebody. We don't have to be able to talk the best, but we've just got to go out knowing that we have the best God. Amen. We have the biggest God. We have a God that has said to us, look, with you by yourself, it may be impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Why? Because God has the power to accomplish it through you. He's got the power to do it. You remember how it was with the woman that was the woman that had the issue of blood? This thing had vexed her for 12 long years. Look, and she had money, and it wasn't doing her no good. She had went out and gave her money to all of the doctors, praise the Lord. And you know how it is sometimes with doctors. I thank God for doctors. I thank God for all of the people that are in the medical profession. But sometimes you go to the doctor, they give you a pill and say, well, if that don't work, come back. You go to the doctor, they wrap it up and rub it down and say, well, if that don't work, come back and we'll try something else. This is what was going on with this woman at the well. She had given all her money. And you know that when the money run out, praise the Lord, so does your coverage. Amen. When the money runs out, don't nobody want to help you. You can't walk into every doctor's office and say, well, I ain't got no money, praise the Lord, but I still need some treatment. The Bible says that she had given out all her money and the doctors could not do her any good. But when she heard that Jesus was coming through, look at this now. And we're going to make a very important point. When she heard that Jesus came through, she said within herself that if I could just touch the hem of his garment. She said within herself, come on somebody, what she believed pushed her towards Jesus. She said within herself, if I could touch the hem of his garment, I know something is going to happen. I know that my situation is going to be made right. She touched the hem of his garment, and it got the attention of Jesus that in the great crowd, he turned around and said, who touched me? What was it about her touch that got Jesus' attention simply by this woman making contact with him? What was different about her touch? She said within herself, faith had risen up in her. She had gotten beyond her means and said that I've got to get to somebody that can take me beyond the natural and do something supernatural. Come on, somebody. What you've got to reach out to the Lord knowing that when you make contact with him, he will cause you to go beyond the limits of your natural ability and get you into the realm of the supernatural. How? By drawing you to the power of God. Jesus said, who touched me? And when it was identified who it was, he said to her, woman, thy faith has made you whole. Through his own volition, come on, through the speaking of his word, he immediately changed her natural situation and caused a supernatural thing to happen in her life. At that moment, he didn't just heal her of her issue, but he made her whole. He healed her mind, he healed her body, and he healed her soul. All of the distress and disappointment that came as a result of her having to deal with this issue for 12 years, spending out all her money, and the doctors not being able to help her, hopelessness beginning to set in, being ostracized from the public and the community. Come on, somebody. In one word spoken, God healed all of that by his own volition, his ability of the supernatural. In one word, one spoken word, without effort, without hollering, without pressure, in one word, He changed her whole situation. Listen, there's something to be said about the fact that power belongs to God. You ought to encourage yourself, no matter where you're sitting, no matter what you're in right now, you ought to just say, power belongs to God. And because power belongs to him, I'm going to rest in the ability that no matter how bad it gets, no matter how long I've had to deal with this situation, I know that all it takes is one word from the Lord, one wheel of his volition, and my whole situation can change in but a moment. Amen. Power belongs to God. There's these people, the woman at, that had the issue of blood, the man that was at the gate called Beautiful, the blind Bartimaeus that was blind, that was born blind, when he received his sight, the thing that makes all of this possible was the fact that there was a display of the power of God. Amen. Their sickness had kept them down and distressed and desperate. But when the power of God came into their life, everything changed. Come on, somebody. Everything changed when they came in contact with the power of God. Why do we need power? Because the world is coming to us. Amen. I know we say that the world is not ready. They don't want the gospel. They don't want to go to church. Come on, somebody. They don't want to pray. They don't want. Listen, the world is coming to the people of God. Look at our text in Matthew chapter 17. It says that the man came to Jesus. Who did he come to? He came to Jesus. And he called Jesus Lord. He called him Lord. Or in this particular case, when he said Lord, it simply meant sir. This man was not saved. He was in the world, and his son was in the world. And not only was his son in the world, but his son was vexed with a devil. Come on, somebody. That was causing him oftentimes to cast himself into the fire, and then cast himself into the water. And they had diagnosed him as being a lunatic. This man was crazy. Praise the Lord. And his father came to him, came to Jesus, and said, Lord, have mercy on my son. He is a lunatic, and he is sore vexed, for he threw himself in the fire, he threw himself in the water, and I brought him to thy disciples. Look at this, and they could not cure him. Praise the Lord. You know what? We always say, the people in the church always say, people, they don't want to come to church. We open the doors and the people won't come. Come on, somebody. We have food for them. They won't come and eat it. We have clothes for them and they won't come and get it. But the Bible says here that this man came to Jesus after he had come to his disciples. When they came to his disciples, the Bible says that they could not cure him. People want what the church has to offer. They want Jesus. They want to see that Jesus Christ is alive and well. They want to know that he has the power to change their life. They want to know that they can be healed, that they can be delivered, that they can have a fresh start. But when they come to us, people of God, they have got to see results. Woo, Jesus, have mercy. Listen, they got to see results. They don't care that you can build a sermon, man of God. Come on, somebody. They don't care about how good your suit look. People have said, well, you know, you got to dress the part. You got to look the part. You got to drive the part. And people spend so much trying to look the part and build up their image. Come on. They try so hard to get the hair right, the shoes right. They try so hard to get the car right that when the people that need to see that Jesus is real, when they come to the ones that taught Jesus, that look Jesus, that preach Jesus, that go to church, that go to Bible study, that speak in a tongue, that talk about how you need to get right and get saved. Amen. When they go to the people that practice religion, that look religious, that carry their Bibles, when they finally come to you and say, I need deliverance, a lot of times they come and get disappointed because there is no demonstration of power. What good is a powerless disciple? We can look here and see what good a powerless disciple is. This man said, I took them to your disciples, and they could not cure them. They could not cure my son. At that point, you as a disciple became useless to the world. The world is not looking for your theological debate. The world is not looking for your Bible school dissertation. The world is not looking for your talent, your speaking ability. The world is looking for answers and solutions. And if you say that God has power, then I'm bringing a situation to you that is beyond my natural limits, and I need something supernatural to take place. The world is coming to Jesus. The world is coming to the church because they want what the church has been preaching about. He was drawn by the outreach ministry of Jesus. Don't get mad if the world is drawn to your feeding program or your clothing program. Come on, somebody. Get them there first. Praise the Lord. And that would give you the opportunity to hear what is pressing in their lives. Come on. How many know that spiritual problems will outweigh even the necessity to be clothed? How many know that spiritual problems will outweigh the necessity to eat sometimes? People have gone on, people have fallen into such distress that they can't eat or they overeat. People have fallen into such distress because their problem is beyond their natural limits that they would even take their lives at times. They will fall into practices that only harm them more. Why is it that when some people can't deal with life, they turn to drugs that will make life even worse? Why is it when people can't deal with the stresses of this world that they start practicing habits that will cause them even much more harm? Honey, because that is the influence of the unclean spirit that dwells in this world. And that's why Jesus said that I'm sending you out with power against unclean spirits and against sickness and disease, so that when they come to you, you can say you don't have to kill yourself. You don't have to turn to drugs. You don't have to become promiscuous. All you need is a power display of the power of God. You need to say to them, silver and gold have I none. Pills and prostitutes I don't have. Come on, somebody. But what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. In the name of Jesus, be healed. In the name of Jesus, come out of distress. In the name of Jesus, come out of darkness and walk in the marvelous light. I don't have what the world has to offer, but I do have a supernatural power that exists in my life as a result of the shed blood of Jesus Christ and as the result of his decision that I'm going to put this power into my disciples, and that when they believe by faith, that when they lay hands, that when they speak the word and believe by faith, they shall have what they say. My God. Power belongs to God. And you know what? Power belongs to the people of God. That's why many times within the church, the word power is thrown around without giving much thought to the true meaning of the word. Preachers are said to have spoken a powerful message and had nothing happened. Nobody has gotten saved. The word hasn't impacted anybody beyond just encouraging them or exciting them. But when you preach a word, when you speak a word, it's not supposed to just encourage you only. It's not supposed to just make you clap your hands. Come on, somebody. Too many preachers are preaching for applause. It's not supposed to just make you clap your hands. Amen. Or a singer is said to have sang so powerfully that it could be that the power could be felt in their voice. Amen. And there should be evidence. But when we speak of the power of God, if they're speaking in reference to the power of God that should most certainly flow through the vessels or the servants of God, then where is the evidence of this power release? Listen. There are two very important things that stand out in this particular text. Number one, there must be evidence that the power of God has been released. We can't just say, wow, didn't God move and there is no evidence? We cannot just say, wow, God really moved in that service because everybody was jumping and shouting and dancing. No, no, no. When we say that God moved, that must be evidence, present, undeniable, that God has moved by his power. Yeah. That God has moved by his power. Number two, there should be, not only should there be proof that the power of God has been released, but number two, the power of God will not be released through a faithless disciple. When these people, when the disciples could not cure this lunatic man that had been vexed, that was throwing himself in the fire and then throw himself in the water, amen. When the father brought his son to the disciples and they could not cure him, there was something wrong that caused them to be powerless. Come on, somebody. There was something that was disconnected. There was a disconnect between the disciples and the power of God. Amen. He could not cure them. Can you imagine how this father must have felt, how disappointed he may have been when he said, I took him to your disciples and they could not cure him. This man was not a disciple himself. He had heard, he had seen, come on somebody, the things that Jesus taught. He had heard about the things that Jesus did. He had seen the people that followed Jesus. And he assumed that if they followed Jesus, they should be able to cure my son. Come on, amen. Or else he would not have taken his son to Jesus' disciples. Listen, the world is coming because they assume that the power of God is working through you. The world is coming. We got to stop saying that the world is not ready. We got to stop blaming the people that come seeking deliverance for not being delivered or not being healed. We got to stop saying, well, they must not have had faith. Listen, they coming, ain't they? They coming to you. When people come to the altar, when people step out into the public eye and say, hey, I need prayer. I have a situation that is vexing me. We got to stop saying that they didn't have faith. Listen, they stepped out. They came forward. This man stepped forward and said, my son needs deliverance. And listen, disciple of God, when the world come to you, when the world come to me, we must be able to walk in the power of God. There must be evidence that God has been here. That must be evidence. You know when John the Baptist, let me slow down here for a minute. When John the Baptist sent a message to Jesus and said, are you the one or shall I look for another? Jesus sent back a message to John the Baptist and said, tell John that blind eyes are open. Tell John that the lame are getting up and walking. You go back and tell John that. Why did Jesus tell him that? Because John the Baptist, being a Jew, knew what the prophecy had said in the book of Isaiah. He said that when you see the blind eyes opening, when you see the dumb talking, when you see the lame walking, he said, know that God has come down and is dwelling among you. That's what the prophet Isaiah said. When you see these things happening, know that God has come down and he is dwelling among his people. Listen, if you want people to know that God is in the place, you've got to have evidence that God is present. Let them know that God is in this place. Let them know that the power of God is moving even at this very moment. Let them know that I may not have what you want naturally, but spiritually, I got everything you need. By the power of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. This man brought his son to the disciples, and they could not cure him. And the Bible says that Jesus said, bring him to me. Can you hear the anguish and the disappointment in the voice of our Lord Jesus when the man came to him, not with a praise report. Come on, somebody. He didn't come to him celebrating. He came to him even more disappointed. Don't you know a disciple of God? Don't you know believer? Don't you know Christian? Don't you know preacher? Come on, somebody. Don't you know singer, amen, of the praises of God? That if you don't have the power to do what God said do, that you can prolong or even hinder deliverance from taking place. By the time this man got back to Jesus, he was even more disappointed than he was when he came. And Jesus said, bring him to me. Lord, have mercy. Bring the man here. Yeah, just bring him here. Can you hear the disappointment in his voice? Just bring him here. And the Bible says that when he brought the man here to him, Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him. And the child was cured that very hour. Listen, without effort. There was no difficulty. Jesus just spoke the word, and it happened. Come on, somebody. And then the Bible says that the disciples came to him separately apart and said, why could we not cast them out? You know, we ask questions that we know the answer to. Why couldn't we cast them out? You already know the answer to that. Why am I not effective? You already know the answer to that. Come on, somebody. You know the level of your prayer life. You know the level of your commitment. You know the last time you prayed. Come on, somebody. You know the last time that you spent time in the Word, meditated on His Word day and night. Amen. You know the last time you actually got into the Word of the Lord and said, speak to me. You know the last time that you went into your secret closet. Amen. And I feel like that these disciples already knew what the problem was. Come on. These are the same disciples, some of the same disciples that was more worried about who was going to be the greatest in heaven in God's coming kingdom than the situation at hand. Amen. We can get so caught up with trying to make ourselves great within the body of Christ that we turn out to be nothing. Amen. The Bible says that the disciples came and said, why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you can say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Now look at how important this statement said. The Bible says that with God, all things are possible. Nothing is impossible to God. Now Jesus is saying, if you had believed, If you had simply had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could have said to this mountain, be thou removed to that place, and it would have happened. Come on, somebody. He said all you would have had to have done was believe it and speak it. Walk in your faith, and it would have happened. Amen. And nothing would have been impossible unto you. Isn't that the realm that we are striving for, that nothing be impossible unto us? Listen, people of God, I want you to know, and I'm getting ready, amen, if I'm getting ready to speak to some of the people that are currently on the line. You may have prayer, or you may have a testimony, or you may say, wow, this word was a blessing, or you may even want to chime in further, amen. And if you want to speak to me directly, those of you that are on the line, all you have to do is press 1 on your phone, and it will let me know that you would like to speak to me, amen, live. Amen. Some of you have been holding on for half an hour. Some of you have just called in. Amen. Just hit 1 on your phone. Hit the number 1 on your phone if you would like to speak to me. But listen, people of God, isn't that the place that we want to get to, where we want to move forward into the realm of impossibilities? Amen. That's what we want to do. We want to get to the place where we don't have to get discouraged anymore, but we want to move into the realm of possibilities. amen, and come out of the trap of impossibilities. Praise the Lord. With God, all things are possible. Jesus said, if you had simply believed, if you had remembered what I had told you, that you would have been able to cure this man. He said, but this kind goes not out but by prayer and fasting. Jesus' response was that this was this faithless generation, how long will I be with you? Amen. The word faithless means perverse generation. It means to be a heathen or an infidel. The word infidel means to be unfaithful. God does not need an unfaithful disciple. He doesn't need somebody that's an infidel. Praise the Lord. And the word perverse means distorted or crooked or to be morally corrupt. Amen. God does not need a disciple that doesn't know which side he want to be on. Amen. He's double-minded. He's two-faced. This is a hypocrite. That means that you are walking in religion and you have gotten the acceptance of the people that go to your church or the people within your denomination, but God has not received you. He can't use you. These are the kind of people that the world will come to because they look the part and sound the part. But when they come and say, I need deliverance, I need a display of the power of God that you've been preaching about, singing about, putting out pamphlets about, and then they leave disappointed because it was all just talk. Amen. Listen, I'm going to stop right here. If you would like to speak to me live, just hit 1 on your telephone. Amen. I see you, listener whose phone number ends in 8311. I see you, listener whose phone ends in 9831. Listen, if you would like to speak to me, just hit 1 on your telephone, and that will alert me. I see you. It's showing Cheryl. Amen. I see you, Cheryl, but I don't see a number. But if you would like to speak to me live, just hit 1 on your telephone, and I will be more than glad to speak to you. Caller with phone number ending in 8311. Amen. Who am I speaking with?
Pastor Smith. God bless you, sir.
Hey, God bless you, Pastor Smith. Thank you for calling in. Pastor Smith, where's your church at?
Hey, we're located in Conyers, Georgia, near my empowerment group.
Amen. God bless you, sir. God bless you for calling in. Have you been listening to the message?
Yes, sir. Actually, if I was near you, I'd go ahead and join up with you.
Amen. God bless you. Amen. Well, we appreciate you coming in. Listen, Pastor, you are a pastor. Amen. How have you felt about when people come into the house of God or come to us as believers and they are expecting a display of God's power, how do you feel about it when those people come and they leave disappointed? What can we do about situations like that?
I think we do ourselves a disservice, and not only ourselves, but the entire workings of Christ. We do it a disservice when they don't come and be able to feel the power and leave powerful rather than powerless. I think we're living in a day now where people are becoming, they wanted to become more popular than powerful. And that's an issue. So you have a lot of people who are talking certain stuff, but then the people are hurting around them. And it doesn't matter how large the church is, how small the church is. It matters about the people being able to see Jesus in us and in other people.
Amen. So, you know,
this day and time, man, you know, we have to become, you know, Jesus is not gonna come out of the sky, and God ain't gonna come out of the sky. So we have to become Jesus with some skin on him, so folk can feel
it.
That's right.
The Bible, you know, Paul said that we are living epistles to be read by all men. And just as Jesus was the express image of the Father,
yes,
Jesus said that he was the light of the world. But remember, when he left, he said, now ye are the light of the world. You know, and if Jesus is going to be seen, he wants the world to see him in us. Amen. And, you know, you made a very important point when you said that people, they come looking for power, but a lot of times they still leave with their problem.
they come looking for power and they find popularity.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's one thing that I've noticed too. I mentioned during the broadcast that a lot of times preachers, pastors, that, you know what, and even people that go to church, period, are more concerned about looking good. And we have even taught people to play the part, you know, fake it till you make it. But what that has done is that it's gotten people more image conscious, self-image conscious, rather than putting focus on walking in the image of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, Pastor, are you having service this morning?
Yes, sir. We're having morning service at 11 o'clock right there at 1012 South Main Street in Conyers, man. I put on my Facebook post that I just want to worship today without the church of hoopla.
Amen.
I respect everybody that may come, and I respect everybody that's going other in their respective places, but I think we need to put the focus back on Christ and what he represented us for, and just to know that, hey, if he wouldn't have died, been buried, and rose again, then we wouldn't even be where we are now.
That's right. That's true. Amen. Amen. Well, Pastor, I thank you for calling in. This is Pastor Smith from Pastor Smith, tell them the name of your church and your address again. They may want to come out and worship this morning.
Nehemiah Empowerment Group Ministries, 1012 South Main Street, Conyers, Georgia.
Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you, Pastor. Thank you for calling in. And, hey, I look forward to seeing you real soon.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Great broadcast, by the way.
Thank you, sir. Amen. God bless you.
Hey, how do we sow into you, man? What can we do? How do we sow into you? Well, I tell you what, when you get a chance, you just get to see me, and we'll sow then. How about that?
Amen. That sounds good. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Amen. God bless you. That was Pastor Smith of the Nehemiah Empowerment Group located right here in Conyers, Georgia. We thank him so much for calling in. Listen, we have a couple of more callers on the line. Amen. If you would like to speak to me directly, just hit 1 on your telephone, and that will let me know that you want to talk to me. But the pastor said something very powerful. He made the point that people are coming to the church. They're coming to the people of God, and they are looking for the power of God, but instead they're finding people who are trying to be in popularity contests. Amen. So we've got to understand, people of God, that God does not want us to be a faithless or a perverse generation. Amen. He don't want us to be corrupt. Jesus, this points to the casual believer who come to worship sometimes, who pray only for self-benefit or whatever the call, whatever the reason, only to receive a word that feels good to you. But believers can't continue to walk like this. We've got to be vessels of the hand of the Lord. We've got to be a display of the power of God. And so moving forward, we just want to encourage you to walk by faith and not by sight. And I pray that this message has reminded you of the importance to walk in the manner and to walk in the way that God would have you to walk in. Walk with God, seek God's face, and say, God, what way can I be used by you today? I may not have the natural ability. I may not have the natural substance that others may have. But God, what can I speak into the life of somebody that will make an impact, a power impact into their lives? Is it somebody that God wants you to pray for or to lay hands on? Is there somebody that God wants you to bless, to be a blessing to? You need to pray and ask God, as a believer, how can I be better used by you? I don't want to be a good Baptist. I don't want to be a good Methodist, a good Kojic. I don't want to be a good denominational holiness, but I want to be an effective child of the kingdom of God. I want to be a soldier in the army of the Lord, because Jesus Christ has said, again, that he has given us power over unclean spirits, over sickness and distress. And listen, if you would look in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, you will see the things that the Lord Jesus Christ said that he is anointed to do. He's anointed to change lives, and he has given us that same spirit so that we too can be life changers, that so that we too cannot just be hearers of his word, but doers of his word. Jesus is Jesus said that the reason why his disciples could not cure them was because of their faithlessness. Amen. What good is going to church? What good is being called a Christian if you don't walk in faith, in the believing in the power and the ability of God? Amen. The Bible says, I'm going to give you these scriptures. Amen. Again, I see callers that are on the line. But if you want to speak to me, just hit 1 on your telephone. I see a caller whose number ends in 7136. I see a caller whose number ends in 9501. I see another caller whose number ends in 6342. If you would like to speak to me, just hit 1 on your telephone, and I will bring you in. Amen. The Bible says, and I'm just going to give you a few scriptures, and then I'm going to pray, amen, as we come to the close of this broadcast. But the Bible tells us in several scriptures. In Genesis chapter 17, verse 1, God said, I am the Almighty God. I am Almighty. I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Be thou complete. Be thou holy. Walk before me, because I am the Almighty God. In Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 17, it says, Lord Jehovah, you have made the heavens and the earth by thy great power. There is nothing hard for you. That phrase, there is nothing hard for you, it means that Jesus, that the Lord did it with an effortless act. He made the heavens and the earth, and it was without effort. Praise the Lord. In Psalms chapter 115, verse 3, it says, our God is in the heavens, and he hath done whatever he has pleased. Amen. Because he has the ability. Remember I said earlier, all God got to do is will it, and it shall be done. It's done. Amen. All he got to do is think it, and it is. It manifests. Praise the Lord. So then we want you to understand that all that we need to know, and that we should have full rest and confidence in, is that God is an all-powerful God. And no matter what you go through, no matter what you experience, no matter how bad the situation may get, and I'm not talking about just wrestling with bills, I'm not just talking about, praise the Lord, you being upset because you got passed over for promotion. When we see the things that are going on with groups like ISIS and the all-out warfare against Christians, we saw in a school in Africa where men attacked a school, I believe it was a college campus, and they went through and separated Christians from Muslims, and they assassinated the Christians. Amen. You got to have the power to make an impact even when there's a threat against your life. Jesus said, if a man lose his life for my sake, he shall gain it again. Praise the Lord. You got to have the confidence to know that God will give you power to make a stance even when there is a threat against your life. You know, when the level of this warfare is so intense that you not being able to get your water bill paid will become a low thing in your life. It's easy to get your water bill paid. Go borrow $20 from somebody and get your water bill paid. But stay in intercession, stay in prayer, and stay active in the kingdom of God so that you can make an impact. Listen, I'm going to pray at this point. There are people still listening in, and no one has pressed one on their telephone. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to close out this broadcast right here on the Hour of Overflow and Restoration, this message being a powerless disciple. Amen. So we're going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, God, for this word. Thank you, Father, for the people of God who have tuned in and to listen, or the enemies of the cross who have tuned in to listen. God, I just pray that this word will be a reminder of the believers that there must be evidence of the power of God in our lives, that when the world comes to us, God, we cannot send them away disappointed. So, Father, I just pray, Lord, that whatever is causing a disconnect in our faith, I pray that it will be corrected. God, give us wisdom. Show us the way that we should go. Father, even as the world would desire to come to you to see a display of your power, so, God, we turn to you ourselves. Because saved and sinner alike, we all need you, Father, that we may deal, that we may be able to operate and walk in this sinful world. And, Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus that your word will bring about a manifestation of glory, that revelation will come to the people of God that will lead to the praising of you. And, Father, I pray that we will understand that we must decrease that you may increase. Don't let us be a hindrance to deliverance. Don't allow us to be a stumbling block to somebody being made free. And, God, I just pray that faith will rise up in us big at the appointed time. And, God, that we will always walk in faith in who you are and have confidence that you are able to operate in full power, and that there's no situation, there's no mountain that is large enough, God, to keep your power and your will from coming to pass in this world. And, God, we just thank you, and we give you praise, and we give you glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Caller whose name is Cheryl, we thank you for calling in. All of the numbers that I see, we thank you for calling in. Listen, we still have a few minutes. If you would like to speak to me, amen, just hit 1 on your telephone, and you can chime in just like Pastor Smith did. Amen. So God bless you. Thank God for you. Amen. Again, this is Pastor Scott Christian. If you would like to text us after the broadcast and send us a message that way, you can do that by texting your message to 404-734-1352. You can also contact me on Facebook. Just put in my name, Pastor D. Scott Christian, and it will come up. And do me a favor, save this broadcast on your computer. You can also go into the archives and listen at this again. Share it with your friends or your neighbors by logging on to www.blogtalkradio.com/OR Ministries. Amen. And you will be able to get in contact with us that way. Amen. God bless you. I love you. And I just pray that the will of God will be done in your life. Amen.